Thank you, Lord, for all the beautiful songs. Thank you, Lord God, for the wonderful day. Thank you, Lord, for what you do and how you are. It's just your character, Lord. You're God, and there's none beside you. There's none else. And Father, we pray tonight, Lord, help us, Father, if you would, to preach through us your message, to encourage this congregation, to encourage this church, Lord Father, to keep on keeping on. Keep following you, keep walking with you, Lord. As it was preached this morning, hopefully folks are in agreement with you and they're walking with you. And God, we pray tonight if they are, Lord, may we give them some confidence. And Lord, that they would have confidence, Lord Father, in their walk with you. And Lord, if there's some that's here tonight, Lord, and they're lacking in that confidence, maybe tonight's the night, Lord Father, where they'll step up and step out, and Lord Father, and receive that which you want to give to them. Father, we love and thank you, praise you. And all these wonderful things, Lord, we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing and reading. As I said, keep the Bible open if you'd like to. I'm going to go back over some of these verses so I get the rest of the message. Love how the writer Solomon had put these things. A lot of times, Proverbs chapter number 3, we refer to verses 5, 6, 7, and 8. And we talk about how acknowledging the Lord and lean not to your understanding and all these things, and it's wonderful verses to keep memorized, to keep in your heart, and to keep in your mind. But I am also reminded here in these scriptures in verses 19 through 26, I'm so thankful that God can give us some confidence. I'm glad that God can show us and establish us to let us know that we can boldly say the things that the Lord wants us to boldly say. But also not just say them, Brother James, but live the bold life. The Apostle Paul talked about that life. Even though he was a tent maker and provided for his ways and worked with Priscilla and Aquila, and though he preached the gospel, not everybody believed on the gospel, not as many as you'd think they would. A lot of times people would say, I want to be a preacher like Paul, and I want to be like Paul. That's a good thing to be like, but the Apostle Paul didn't have him saved by the thousands upon thousands upon thousands. A lot of the thousands was coming to kill Brother Paul, but the Apostle Paul had a boldness because he had a peace knowing that the Lord was on his side and he was on the side of the Lord. Solomon's writing here, he says, the Lord by wisdom hath found the earth, and by understanding he hath established the heavens, and by his knowledge the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. He says, my son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Can I say, if there's anything that I love about this, if we keep that sound wisdom, I'm telling you, some sound things, some sound experiences, the things that's happened, and that with the Lord. Brother Josh, I'm glad I don't have to rely on anybody else's experiences. I'm glad I got me some experiences of my own. And can I say this, if you've been saved, if you're walking with the Lord, there should be some times when God has intervened in your life and intervened in the story of your life and things that's happened in your life. Some of these saints here, I've heard them, and we've heard some today testify with tears in their eyes, thanking God that he's never left. He's always been there. And he answers prayer. I'm glad, Brother James, I've got me some stories. I love hearing your stories. I love hearing the stories of other people. Surely I love hearing the stories of the saints, but I'm glad I don't just relish in their stories. I'm glad I got some sound wisdom. You say, preacher, I thought you were talking about stories. That's where that sound wisdom comes from, Brother Eddie. It's walking with the Lord and having an experience in that with God, God working and moving in our life. I'm glad that I don't have to worry about the things that's happened. I don't have to go back and prove that God made everything, because God is doing a work in my life, Brother Paul, and I know these words and that are true. I'm glad that sound wisdom and discretion, that means making the right decisions. Can I say this? If you have to ask the preacher, if you have to ask somebody whether if it's right or wrong to do something, friends, you ought to sit back and not ask at all and deem it to be wrong. I can say this, and some folks may get mad and disagree, but Brother James, I don't have to go inquire whether or not if it's right or it's wrong. Can I say tonight, if it doesn't bring glorification unto God, if it does not lift up the name of Jesus Christ, if it does not help my church, if it does not help my family, I ought not to do it. Somebody say amen right there. I mean, I know some folks say, preacher, what do you mean by discretion? I think our country's in the problem that it's in because folks didn't have some good discretion in their decision making. And Brother Ben, I do know this. Some folks say, well, preacher, I look at it different. Well, you can look at it any way you want to. And I've heard Brother Brother Terry Pace say, take your Bible and go to your closet and argue with God. When the argument's over, you'll find out you lost. You'll tap out and come out. And bless God, you'll still have victory because He loves you and forgives you. What we need is some sound wisdom in the house of God, Brother Teddy. What we need, some sound wisdom and good discretion in the home. We need some sound wisdom and some good discretion in the heart of God's believers. Don't you all agree this evening? I'm glad tonight that we have that sound wisdom and the discretion. He said, it shall be life unto our soul and grace to our neck. Can I say this? That's the one thing that I love about my soul, having that life and that life eternal. I'm glad that I'm saved, Brother Eddie, and I'm glad that I'm hell-proof. I mean, I get so excited sometimes, I get so charged. Sometimes I'm going to steal a little saying that Brother Donald Bateman says, I get so excited sometimes I feel like I can storm hell in a turpentine suit, skirting kerosene through a squirt gun, and knowing that it cannot touch me and the flames of hell cannot harm me. I heard one old preacher say he thinks he gets so confident sometimes he can swing out over hell over a wet spaghetti noodle, knowing that it would not break and God would bring him back in. You say, preacher, you're just trying to be funny. I ain't trying to be funny. I'm trying to say there's a confidence that comes with being saved. Because can I say this? The devil's on into your every hand. The world's trying to get you to stop doing what you're doing. And the flesh would love to get you to quit and just stay home and do the things that pleases it. But I'm glad we have a confidence. I'm glad we got something that makes our soul feel alive. And that's the wisdom and discretion of God. It shall be grace to thy neck. Who wants a burden on their neck? Who wants a yoke upon their neck? I don't. I want grace. Does anybody else here want grace? Say amen if you want grace on your neck. Then shall I walk in the way safe, and thy foot shall not stumble. I mean, ain't that good? There's a promise if you do these things. It says, thou shalt walk in thy way. What's your way, preacher? Well, my way is the way of Jesus Christ. I found out my way is the wrong way, but if I make Jesus my way, I will not stumble. Brothers, anybody hearing this preacher tonight? I'm about to get excited and be gone, and the calm spirit might leave me, Sister Tennis, so you pray for me. I don't know about anybody else, but I don't like stubbing my toe. Does anybody like stubbing their toe? Does anybody like tripping over things in the dark? I know this, when it walk in this walk of life, sometimes it's bothersome, sometimes there's things set in front of us, and sometimes we trip over things that we ought not trip over. I like what Sister Tina said. She said, sometimes we're being stupid and sometimes ignorant and doing things we ought not to do, but aren't you glad He still knows our name and still forgives us? And first thing I thought of, Brother Eddie's had that saying, they say, now get my name out of your mouth. They like to say that nowadays. I'm glad Jesus don't take my name out of His mouth. I'm glad it's still in there. Sometimes He calls it for the wrong reasons. I'm being stupid. I'm being ignorant. But I'm glad He still calls out my name. Is anybody excited over that? I am this evening. But then He says in verse number 24, when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. We all love sweet sleep, don't we? We all just to have a good night's sleep. As we say, sleep like a baby, sleep like a log, sleep like a rock. And you say, preacher, how do you get that sweet sleep? That means trusting in the Lord. He says, "Not be not afraid, yea, thou shalt lie down. Thou liest down." He said, thou shalt not be not afraid. You say, preacher, have you been afraid ever since you've been saved? When you lie down your head, I can honestly say, Brother Eddie, I have not feared for my soul since I've been saved. Some folks say that's an arrogant thing to say. Can I say this? I'm not being arrogant. I'm just being confident, knowing that when I lay down at night, I've never had to worry about things. You said, preacher, you've said you've doubted. I've doubted, but whenever it come to sleep, I just wasn't realizing I could lay down and put my head on my pillow and go straight to sleep. Why? Because there was something greater than me working inside of me. And I could have that sweet peace. Be not afraid, verse 25, of sudden fear. Neither of desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Well, can I say this tonight? You should have confidence in where you are. You should have confidence in who you are. You should have confidence not in yourself, but confidence in the Savior. May I remind everybody, Psalm 118 says, trust not. It's better to trust in the Lord and put confidence in man. Psalm 118, verse number 8. And verse number 9 says, it's better to put your trust in the Lord and put confidence in the princes. And can I say, so many people's putting their confidence in the princes of this world and the princes of this land. I mean, don't get me wrong. I know some folks will say I nitpick on politics, but there's just so many people who's put their confidence and trust in the president of the United States. And can I say this? It's better to put your confidence in man. It's better to put your confidence, or not man, but better to put your trust and confidence in the Lord, Brother James. And can I say, I'm thankful that there is some men that I can be confident in. But it's men that I don't know. It's men that I know. It's men that I've seen that's seasoned. It's men that the Lord has proven to be good men and faithful men. Don't you all think that you should have some faithful men? Amen. Isn't that a good question to ask, having faithful men? I mean, that's what's wrong with our country today, but it's more wrong in our churches today to have faithful men. I don't know why I'm preaching on this. Y'all just pray for me real quick. I got to get this. The Lord says, get it. Proverbs chapter number 25, I do believe it's verse number 19. It says this. It says, confidence in an unfaithful man in times of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. I mean, come on, that ain't pain if that ain't pain. Christian said he had four of them wisdom teeth pulled out, and he was suffering some pain. Me and Timmy ourselves both have some broken tooth. I don't know if anybody's ever had a broken tooth before, but I'm talking about it's pain that you do not want to have. I've had my foot out of joint. It's hard to walk. It hurts to walk. I mean, but can you imagine having a broken tooth and a foot out of joint? You can't talk right, and you can't walk right. Everything's all upside down. And they liken that into an unfaithful man. Can I say this? Noah, being an unfaithful man is a man that cannot count upon his word, count upon his handshake, and can't count upon his character. And the Bible says that we should not have confidence in an unfaithful man. I'm telling you this, so many people's put their confidence in unfaithful men, and they put their trust in unfaithful men. And when times of trouble come about, the man that's unfaithful takes off and leave. I've seen it in preachers, I've seen it in deacons, I've seen it in everybody else. And can I say this? The Bible says that Jesus calls them a hireling. They see the wolf come and they flee. Well, my friend, can I say this? I'm not a wolf killer. He's the wolf killer. I'm just the one who gets to sling the stone. Somebody say amen right there. But I'm telling you, it's better to put your confidence in the Lord, trust in the Lord, and not in man. You can have confidence tonight. You can have confidence in the Lord, confidence in that you're being saved. I like to say this. The Bible says, when it says it's not confidence in an unfaithful man in times of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. But can I say this? Oftentimes that the Lord, the world, and Satan and our flesh and so-called friends try to tell us that we're not worthy, that we're messed up, we're all jacked up, we're no good. But can I say this? I quote this scripture quite a bit, but it's a scripture sometimes I have to refer to. Because oftentimes I feel like God's made a mistake, that he chose the wrong one, or maybe I made a mistake in believing the wrong thing, Brother James. And I don't mind if anybody else feels like they're unworthy or like they're not up to snuff or up to par. And can I say this? So many people don't realize all we are is a bunch of broken people whom God didn't just fix, but he made brand new, Brother Eddie. And oftentimes I see some people who thinks they're better than somebody else. But can I say this tonight? I love what Paul said in Philippians chapter number 1, verse number 6. I may not be perfect. I may not be the ideal preacher that some people like to see. I may not sing the songs the way people like to hear them sung. I may not even read the Bible the way some folks like to read the Bible, but I'm glad I got some confidence in this very thing, that God who hath begun a work in me shall perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Hey, you may not like it, but I love it that God's still working on me. Somebody say amen right there. And I'm glad to know that I got confidence in it. Sometimes I hang my head. Sometimes I walk down the road of woe is me. Sometimes I'm on my way down the road of Emmaus, Brother James, Brother Eddie. But if I get down there, I'm glad I got confidence that Jesus meets me on the way and say, I ain't done with you yet. Pick up your lip, child of God. Pick up your head. And he carries me on. I'm glad I got confidence in that. Can I give you some examples of being confident? And I give you one verse of scripture to close. I'm reminded in 1 Samuel chapter number 17 that David had some confidence. David had confidence. David didn't just have confidence in what he could do, but he had confidence in the Lord. I'm reminded, we all know the story, but I'm so thankful for the story because it reminds me what David did as a young kid, what David did being obedient, what David did being following what Daddy told him to do. Some people may not realize it, and some of you young kids may not like it, but if Daddy's following the Lord and Daddy's telling you, you ought to follow the Lord, and sometimes you may not like it, y'all just keep your lip sewed up and just follow what Dad's saying to do, right? And can I say this? Follow God, young people. Follow God. Can I say this? Oftentimes, I know some people who would say, if mom and daddy ain't following God, you disobey your parents. Can I say this? The Bible didn't say, honor thy father and mother as long as they're being right. The Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother. Y'all hear this, preacher? You don't go breaking God's word to suit your situation. Can I say this? When mom and dad ain't following the Lord and they won't take you up, the Bible says the Lord will take you up. The Lord will take you up and He'll help you through times of trouble. And can I say there's many a young people, many a kids who come to church. Can I stop right there? I mean, I feel pretty good. I don't want to go chasing rabbit trails and be all confusion. But there's a group, I can't remember their name. They're out of Barberville, Kentucky. And this one girl, she's a little blonde-headed girl, and her mom and daddy would never take her to church. And somebody always stopped on the way to church to pick up this little blonde girl and take her to church. They took her every single time, And every time church was to go, she was ready and waiting at the door to go to church. Mom and dad never took her to church. And as she said, telling this testimony, she sat there and she said, I went to church one day and I heard the preacher preaching. And she's sitting there and the conviction got a hold of her. And she got down on the altar and she began to pray. And she sat there and she just cried and she just cried and she just cried. And all of a sudden the preacher come up next to her and he got down next to her. He said, little miss, he said, do you know what you're down here for? He says, can I help you out? She says, I don't think you can help me out, sir. She says, but the one that can't help me is right here on the altar with me. And she said, I gave my life unto the Lord. And you know, her mom and daddy, she never testified that her mom and daddy ever wound up coming to church, but she's still in church. She's a grown woman, got kids and raising her kids and taking her kids to church and singing for the Lord. Can I say this? That's some confidence that every child of God needs to have to follow God and walk with God. The Bible says in Samuel chapter 1 and 17, David was a young feller. They're all out in the battle. They're all out in the fight. It says that Goliath is challenging. We all know the story. The Bible says that no one would accept the challenge, but David accepted the challenge. We all know the story. We've preached on the armor being proven, all these things. But the thing that always gets me is that David never was confident in the things that he could do. He was always confident in God. You said, preacher, how can you say that? We find in the scriptures when it comes time for the battle to ensue, there's David. He done left Saul. He done got his staff. He done got his rod. Done got his sling. Done got his purse. Done got his five stones picked up from the brook. Done got him in his purse and his pouch. And the Bible says here comes Goliath, and Goliath starts jawing at him and bad-mouthing him and bad-mouthing God and everything. Says he's going to cut off David's head and feed his flesh into the fowls of the air and all these other things. And David said the same thing back to him. He said, you come at me with sword and with spear and with shield. He was saying Goliath had his confidence in his sword, had his confidence in his spear, had confidence in his shield. Somebody say amen right there. But David didn't say, I'm coming at you with a staff and with a sling and five stones. David said, I'm coming at you in the name of the God of Israel, the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou defiled. And the Bible says David was so confident that God would give him the victory, he didn't wait for the first punch. David gave the first punch. He slung the stone, hit John in between the eyes, and dropped him on his backside, as the Bible says. In the original text, he dropped him on his backside. But the Bible says that David took the sword of Goliath, jumped on his flesh, and cut off his head. Friend, that's the confidence that the child of God should have today when fighting the giants of their life. Can I say this? We all got giants. We all got problems. But we shouldn't cower down. We shouldn't lock ourselves up in a room. We should stand up like David and say, in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, we got victory. Y'all with the preacher? Second place I find some confidence is in 2 Kings chapter number 18. Now, first in 2 Kings 18, we find where there's the king of Assyria has sent some scribes out, and he sent them out unto King Hezekiah. The Bible says, and King Hezekiah was the king of Israel. The Bible says that the Assyrian army had went out, and they was going about, and they was taking out all the kingdoms of the world. Everything that happened, everything that was going on, we find out that Assyria was just wiping everybody out. Here comes the king, Sennacherib, has showed up and was besieging Jerusalem. And he sends out message unto them from Rabshakeh. And the Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 18, verse number 19, it says, and Rabshakeh said unto them, speak ye now to Hezekiah. Thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this wherein thou trustest? He says, would you put your confidence in? He said, don't you dare put your confidence in King Hezekiah. He started bad-mouthing King Hezekiah. He said, King Hezekiah ain't a good king. And then he said, don't dare think you're going to put your confidence in your God. He said, I know how many other kingdoms had confidence in their God, and their gods couldn't deliver them. And he says, your God ain't going to deliver you neither. Has anybody ever been in that situation where it felt like no matter what you did, no matter how you did, it felt like the devil was always whispering in your ear saying, God ain't going to help you. God ain't going to help you. God ain't going to help you. Can I say this, friend? If you're saved, you're hell-proof. Lift up your head. I love that God's the lifter up of my head. He lifts up my head. He's trying to lift yours up tonight, maybe too. Maybe you're discouraged and depressed and feel like you're about to lose it. Can I say this? Sennacherib told him, don't you put your confidence in Hezekiah. Don't put your confidence in the God of Israel. But I like what Hezekiah did. Hezekiah may not have been the smartest of kings of Israel because he winds up messing up later on. But this thing right here, he did something really smart and really good. In 2 Kings 19 and verse number 14, the Bible says, Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord, God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Can I say this? Hezekiah, even though he was scared, still had some confidence that he could trust in God. He went back to the house of God, took the letter from the enemy, and spread it out for all of God to see. Maybe it just might be good for you to take all them bills and take all them troubles and take all them doctor prescriptions and all those things. Just lay them out before the Lord. Bring them to your altar and lay them out. Is anybody hearing this preacher tonight? And lay them out before God. Let him take a look at them. In verse number 16, Lord, he says, Lord, bow down thine ear and open, Lord, thine eyes and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods unto the fire. For they were no gods, but the works of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord, our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of the hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Can I say this? Sometimes some people say, well, preacher, that's a lot of reading. That's not reading of God's word. That's the reading of some king's prayer seeking the face of God. Good little prayer right here to adopt in your life, highlighted, underlined, italicized it, where Hezekiah is seeking the Lord. And verse number 20 says, then Isaiah the son of Amos sent to Hezekiah, saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. I'm glad that the Lord hears our prayers. Ain't you? Ain't you glad tonight to know that God will hear your prayer? Can I say this? If you have no sin in your life, if you're not harboring sin, if you're not covering up sin, the Bible says we got a clear signal going straight up to the throne of glory. Can I say this? We got a clear signal getting to the throne room of grace. Can I say this? The Bible says if God hears not our prayers, it's because sin and iniquity have separated us. But can I say this? That's why I always start off my prayer, Brother Eddie, not by repetition, not by just being religious, but I'm begging God to forgive me. If there's something that I don't know, manifest it, Lord, that I may repent from it and ask for forgiveness of it. And Hezekiah went to the Lord and spread out the problem, prayed unto the Lord. And Isaiah sent words saying, the Lord heard your prayer. And the Lord heard his prayer. And in verse 35 of 19, chapter 19 of 2 Kings, and it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote the camp of the Assyrians, that's Sennacherib's army, 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt in Nineveh. And it came to pass as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that Adrammelech and Sherezer, his sons, smote him with a sword, and they escaped into the hand of Armenia, and Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead. Can I say this? You can't come against God and God's people, come against God's armies and God's nation. Don't think God's got something to say about it, friend. Lift up your head. God be for you. Who could be against you? I say amen right there. More than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. Our weapons are not carnal. We don't need a real sword and a real shield. We don't need to have real guns and shotguns to fight off the enemy. Our weapons are not carnal. They're spiritual, pulling down the strongholds. Give it to God in prayer and being confident, and God will deliver your situation. Is anybody having as good a time as I am? Huh? Last one, and I'll give you the verse. Acts chapter 27. Most of you know the story. Apostle Paul was on the ship. They just left the fair haven. They should not have sailed from. And Apostle Paul is on his way to be tried for the... petitioned Rome. They was wanting to kill him in Jerusalem, but he petitioned Rome. And so they're sending him to Rome. Now, he wasn't going to Rome just to stand trial. He was going to Rome to preach the gospel. And he's in a boat, and they left the fair havens. Paul said we ought not to leave, but the shipmaster said, I know how to sail this boat, you don't. Now, the shipmaster knew how to sail the boat, but Paul knew the one who knew how to make the weather and everything in the water that the boat sailed on. They're in this storm called a Euroclodon. Most of you remember the story. But in verse number 20, it says, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, this is Acts 27, verse 20, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. There shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel, the angel of God, not a angel, the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Listen to what Paul says in verse number 25. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that shall be in as it was told me. Oftentimes, people say this, you know, and they say, well, I think this is going to take me out. This might be the thing that takes me out. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes I have that thought process. Something will come up and say, this will be the thing that takes me out. But can I say this? What God has planned for you, nothing can take you out. God's not going to say, I got this for you, James Powell, and not let you get to that. God's bigger than anything that happens between now and that. Does anybody listen to the preacher? Does that make sense? Is everybody with me? Too many times we put all of our confidence in what's going on right now, as in the things that the world may do or the flesh may do and the devil may do, but we forget that right now our faith should be in the Lord. Now faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Somebody says, preacher, what do you think God will have you doing in 10 years from now? If I'm living, I'm still pastoring. I got to follow the Lord. Y'all listen to the preacher? We had this, there's a thing that's been going around, and I've tried to, the Lord's tried to get me to kick it sometimes and step on it, because we got this world that wants to change things and do things differently. The first thing that we come across was God's love was reckless love. And some folks may not like the way that I address the reckless love. God's love's not reckless. God's love is perfect. God doesn't do things crazy or haphazardly. It's focused. It's purposed. Straight. Then they want to change it and say that fear's a liar and get fear out of here. Now, there's two types of fear in this Bible. The fear of man, it's a snare. The fear of man is a snare. And we don't want the fear of man. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Y'all with the preacher? But I preached all this tonight. Lord, have me preach all this tonight for you to flip your Bible open to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Maybe you don't want to highlight. Maybe you don't like writing in your Bible. That's fine. Maybe you need to write it down on a piece of paper. Maybe put it in your phone. Type it in your phone. Send it as a text message to yourself. But carry this out throughout the rest of this day. I heard somebody say that the word fear, or the form of the word fear, feared or feareth, is around 500 times in the Bible. Never Googled this or researched this, but they say the term fear not or don't fear is 365 times in the Bible. That'd be a good thing to know, but I just know this, that 2 Timothy chapter number 1 is a real good verse. Chapter 1, verse number 7. If we can get ready for a psalm. Verse number 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.